it one more time. Excited as always. What a great rainy day and a back to college time and get your vacations in before fall and all those things that we get involved in. I think I'll just dive right into what I have to say. I think I can say it in about an hour and 15 minutes, so if you get sleepy, go ahead. No, I'll run out of energy before an hour and 15 minutes, but just going to dive right in. In the first half century that was called 1800, there was a philosopher by the name of Soren Kierkegaard. And Soren Kierkegaard is credited with coming up with a philosophy that is called existentialism. Now, some of you have run onto that, I'm sure, in your college philosophy class, but I didn't run onto it there at all. I came by it many years later. He was also said to be a theologian, but I don't think he was much of a theologian. Now you wonder, why would I go back to first half of the 1800s? Some of you will remember that 1803 to 1850 were the years accredited to the Restoration Movement, when the Christians decided much of them didn't want to be denominational, and they began to have meetings together in Kentucky and Tennessee and some in Georgia and South Carolina. And for 50 years they tried to come together and believe the same things. And by the way, it was... But anyway, that seems to be when the Church of Christ became very prominent in the area. Well, Kierkegaard's idea, called existentialism, I can't even say the word, I got it written down here though. He said the existence is all that counts. Just the fact that you're here, that's what counts. Well, he didn't live very long. He only lived 42 years, and so he was gone. And in the very early 1900s, there was another philosopher by the name of Jean-Paul Sartre, and that's the way I learned to pronounce it, S-A-R-T-R-E. I don't know how those Frenchies decide to pronounce their names. But he picked up on this Kierkegaard philosophy that all that really made any difference was that you are here. Sartre is credited in the latter part of his life, by the way, he lived until 1980, with having said, I read it in his book, that the most important thing about man is that I am. Now, he was absolutely wrong, because he was referring to the fact that he was, when he said that I am, you're me, I am the most important thing. He was wrong. But what he was in what he said, absolutely correct. If you make capital letters out of the word I am, you have God's memorial name, the great I am. If you don't remember, that's in Exodus 3, 14 and 15. And not only is that his name, that is his memorial name. It was the name he is to be remembered by. This gets me to a sermon. It was called a lesson a while ago, but for me it's a sermon, whether you like it or not. And I call my sermon, I Am Times 7. And if you want to follow along, turn to John's Gospel. That's where we're going to be today. We're going to start out in John's Gospel in chapter 6. And if you will look down to the 35th verse, we will see that Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall not thirst. So there is what sustains life, something to eat and something to drink. Back in John 4, we don't need to go back there, I'm not going to be there long enough. But the living water was something that Jesus offered to the lady at Jacob's well, the Samaritan lady. He asked for water. He told her later on, if you'd asked me to give you a drink, I'd have given you some water and you would have never thirsted after that. So I am the bread of life, and you're not going to need anything except me to get by. All that it takes to sustain life is Jesus. I am the bread that came down out of heaven. The occasion for him to say he was the bread was that they had been discussing the fact that manna came down by Moses, and he said, no, Moses didn't do that, God did. God had given the Israelites the manna in the wilderness. But he said, I am the bread of life. On down in 51, I am the living bread, he says. So with him, it is life, and the most important thing about you and I is I am. It is the I ams that we find Jesus saying when he was in his ministry on this earth. John chapter 8. Verse 20. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isn't that interesting? Just a little while before, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, about a year before, he had told the people, you are the light of the world. Now he says, I am the light of the world. But wait a minute. In John 9, Jesus said, While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And in John 12, 36 and 35 and 6, for a little while longer, the light is among you. While you have the light, believe in the light, in order that you may become sons of light. And finally, when John got around to writing his little short letter called 1 John, first chapter, verse 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness. Oh, dear hearts, put that all together. We are the light, he said. He is the light, and God is light, and in him is no darkness. You think that I am? He had us in mind all the time when Jesus said, not only I am the bread of light, but I am the light of the world. So John chapter 10, verse 9. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The occasion was, he was talking about the sheepfold. He was talking about the place that had been built to protect the sheep. God built this world. He set it up. He built around it. He built the tower. He put the doorway there. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the door to the sheep, to the sheepfold. Sheep. I want you to see here just a minute with me. See ourselves as sheep. needing to be told what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. They tell me that sheep are so helpless that they can hardly find a place to eat or know enough to chew if they do find something to eat. Now, I don't think sheep could be that helpless, but from time to time in my life, I have been. Jesus said, I'm the way in and I'm the way out. And if you don't come in my way, you don't come in. I am the door to the sheepfold. Drop on down. Verse 14. I am again, he says, the good shepherd. And I know my own, and my own know me. Jesus knows me. I know him. Not only do we know each other, but verse 11, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And he did that. He did that. I lay down my life for my sheep. And he says, not only do I know my sheep, but my sheep know me. So what do you think? I think we as Christians have great things to expect from our great shepherd, from our good shepherd. Not only to expect, but to anticipate. To anticipate with great joy. How can you be a lamb of Jesus, the good shepherd, and not know that things are supposed to be good? Life is exciting, people. Maybe you haven't got far enough into it yet to realize how exciting it is. Hope every one of you makes it. Most of you have. But the good shepherd, he says, is going to lay down his life. There have been a lot of hirelings that will try to tell you, you go their way, they'll take care of you, but they're coming in the wrong way. You know that the shepherds, when they put their sheep in the sheepfold, they went through a little door, that was Jesus. And then the next morning, when they went in to get their sheep, they didn't go in there and drive them all out. They went in there and they talked to them, and the sheep knew their shepherd, and then you walked out and your sheep followed you. You've been following Jesus? Been being the obedient one that Christ died for? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I am the door. I am chapter. Woo! Moving right along. Chapter 11. Verse 25. Jesus said to her. Context is, this is Martha. This is Lazarus' death. Remember that story? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Remember, Lazarus has died and Jesus has been notified to come. And he stalls around for 4 days or more. He didn't hurry. By the time he gets to the house, Martha sees him coming, runs out to meet him. Says, oh Lord, if you would have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And I know that whatever God asks, you ask God to do, God will do it anyway. So I'm so glad that you're here right now. Jesus told her, he said, your brother shall rise again. And I paraphrase, Martha said, oh Jesus, I remember all about that. I remember 6 to 9 months ago earlier when we were discussing things that were going to come back in John chapter 5, by the way, verse 24 and 29. Speaking of the second coming, speaking of Christ's second coming, I remember, and the resurrection of the dead. So the subject had been mentioned, which was not a new thing when Jesus said to her, but Martha, put a butt in there. But Mark, I'm not talking about the resurrection. I'm talking about the fact that I am the resurrection. You look to me for all that stuff. I am the one. So in John 6, we learn that those who have eternal life, at verse 40, I will raise up on the last day. Dear hearts, I bet my life on it. I bet my life on it. If it was mine to bet, and it's not because I gave it to God a long time ago. When I decided to be God's man, whatever came. Whatever presented itself, however easy or however rough, I would be God's man. And so I read with great anticipation when Jesus says, I am something. Chapter 14. Verse 6. So far, bring you up to here. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door to the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. You're not leaving much out. What he claims to be. Verse 6, chapter 14. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Dear hearts, that makes everything else out there wrong. It's only through Jesus that you're going to get to the Heavenly Father, to the great I Am of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses is great I Am. Memorial name for Almighty Jehovah God is the way. And there's good old Tom. I call him Bob when I read this. Then, Lord, we don't know the way. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Lord, Thomas, I am the way. The Hebrew writer tells us that the way was made by Jesus into the presence of God. Hebrews 10:20 says, it was by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil. That is his flesh. Veil that separated the Holy of Holies and the temple. So God was always separated. The only separation that you and I have is the flesh of Jesus. And he brought it in when he died for me. Yeah. For me, he went to the cross and suffered and died. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's a thee in front of each one of those. This could be three sermons. Actually, this could be seven sermons. This is just the introduction. Last but not least, John chapter 15. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Remember the parable of the vineyard back in Matthew 21? You know, that vineyard that was built to put out to hired hands to run it. It was God building his world and letting man be in charge. Remember the attempt to get his part of the prophets, and they killed his messengers two or three times, and then he said, I'm going to send the son this time. They won't do anything to my son. They'll give me what I've got coming from my vineyard. And they killed the son also. Didn't accept him either. Chapter 15 started with Jesus saying, I am the true vine. This may be the most important thing of all the seven I ams that Jesus said in John's Gospel. For if he is the vine and I am the branches, and the branches don't have a chance, not only to not produce, but no chance to live without the vine. I don't know how much you know about grapes or anything else that binds, but if you go out and cut a branch from the vine, it dies. It has no life in itself. I have no life in myself. But I have life because I am attached to Jesus. Maybe we need to spend just one more minute on what it means to abide. I wonder sometimes, I look around, I see people who are good people who will tell you that they've been to Jesus for salvation, but I don't know by their life whether they're abiding in Him or not. I know in some cases they're not. But we need to understand, I think, the word that's used here, the word to abide. There are 12 different Greek words in the New Testament that are translated at one time or another by the word abide. But if you look to that particular Greek word, meno, we need to understand what that word means. And I'm going to tell you. It means to continue, to endure, to stand, to dwell, to remain, to tarry. All those things, put them together. And I am abiding in the branch, in Jesus. And if I don't, apart from Him, I can do nothing. Thank you, Jesus. And the invitation this morning is this. Recognize that I am is the most important thing about man. Not the I am of Soren Kierkegaard. Or Jean-Paul Sartre's philosophy. But the Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, when God told Moses, you tell the people, I am, has sent you. And verse 15 says, and by the way, Moses, this is my name forever. This is what they're going to remember me by. This is my memorial. Now, you've already had the invitation read to you this morning, but I'm going to reread the first three verses. And then David and I are going to change places. You're going to make application to this, just how this thing has invited us and what it has invited us to. 15:6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch dries up. And they gather them and they cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you will, and I shall do it for you. But this is by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples.